From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In today's podcast, I have Damian Cook from WP Engine with me, and we're going to talk about the WordPress potpourri. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey everybody, Rob here again, and today I'm with my guest, Damon Cook, from the DevRel team at WP Engine. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. Excellent.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to talk to you again. You and I have known each other a while. We've had a couple of conversations, so this is just another good one.
Yeah.
And I was saying, it was funny. We were talking before we went to record. I really need to start recording all the outtakes beforehand because some of the information's better than
just start rolling.
I always like to start, and I think I know your story, but I'm going to ask you anyway, is how did you get into WordPress and how did that kind of mature for you?
Sure. Yeah. I don't remember the year, but it's been at least a decade I've been, in playing with WordPress daily and working with it. But I know that, I started in a higher ed state school for New York, and I was a instructional technologist, and one of the things we got proposed to do was coming up with an internal CMS intranet alternative because they were using Lotus Notes at the time. So maybe that helps date people. So they were looking for an intranet replacement, and we, in state fashion, set up a panel, and you got to look at all sorts of vendors, and it turns in that was my first introduction to that kind of process. But one of the things was looking at open source, and WordPress and Drupal came into the top, conversation, and I quickly got fascinated with WordPress, and one of my colleagues took on Drupal, and we continued to champion that for a while. And then I started using WordPress in a bunch of other capacities at that job. And then when I left there, I went into agency land quickly and was doing front-end development. And from there on out, it was always WordPress focused. I worked, for agencies that were using WordPress daily and building sites for clients in WordPress. And then transitioned into developer relations about almost, I think, a year and a half ago almost 2 years ago. Yeah. So
Developer relations has its challenges, doesn't it, at times?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As far as industry role, I don't know how long it's been around. I would guess maybe the last 5 years. And I still feel like it's very new and very fluid in what people's expectations and, thoughts on what it is externally, even internally at different companies. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It kind of forces you to stay up to date on what's going on, doesn't it? Whether you like to admit it or not, because being in dev relationships, you have people coming to you for advice, for help all the time. I'm sure your calendar is probably full of that kind of stuff.
Yep, definitely. And just lately I've been more even given back to the WordPress project, working on 6.45 release. So it's a lot of hats and a lot of crossing a lot of vectors.
So. It is. 6.5 is coming. At the time of this record, beta 1 has just dropped a couple days ago. Betas usually drop on Tuesdays, for those who don't know, typically.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's typically the schedule for 6.5. So beta 2 should drop next week and then so on. What's the thing you're most excited about in 6.5?
I mean the kind of the feature items are certainly the font library and like I'm definitely excited about the block bindings API, which I feel like it's yet to be explored kind of in a lot of ways what that can do, but just associating like, you know, block attributes with dynamic data, that's really, really interesting. And I'll be curious to see where it goes. And so I think
for me, it's the font library. I'm hoping they get that tidied up. I'm hoping it happens. I really would have liked to have seen some media library stuff go into 6.5, but I don't think it's happening. I think it's been pushed back again. And for me, from a user and a designer and a usability standpoint, I think the media library is becoming a bit of an issue. Like it's so antiquated, if you want to put it that way. It hasn't
been. Yeah. I get a sense that I know the data views are a part of the 6.5 release, which is kind of, I look at it as like, you know, integrating a lot of the components that could possibly go into a redesign of the media library. So I think that the data views is kind of an exploration and kind of scaffolding of some of the ideas that, some of the components in UI and experience that could go into the media library. So I think that is like, it's a step forward, but it's just not, you know, it's not obvious that it's affecting the media library. You know, there's no thought intentionally into what that will be for the media library.
I think down the road, we're also probably in for a bit of a UI change too on the back end eventually, but I don't think that's scheduled. That's not scheduled for 6.5 either, as far as I know. So,
no, yeah, and I think that's again, I mean, that's what the data views a lot of it in a lot of ways. That's just, you know, like a scale of like, here's the whole admin redesign. You know, the data views are kind of like, here's 5% of it. You know, we're just getting the ground. You know, some of the stuff laid out. So,
yeah, it's so true. I would encourage anybody who wants to play with it, download the beta, get the beta plugin installed. It will do your updates for you and have a go and see what's going on. And then jump on some of the conversation, because I think part of the problem in the WordPress community is because we're so open source. There's a lot of people who get involved and then a lot of people that don't, and you're going to hate me for doing this, but if you see a bug and you don't know how to open a bug, people like Damon, because they'll help you open a track ticket. Like come to these guys.
I agree. I think there's a lot of folks talking, and it is great whether, you know, it's a productive conversation or not, but I think, just reach out if you see a bug or you want to know if it's a bug, or I'm happy to kind of dig in and verify things. And if it's not, open a ticket. And I think sometimes like people think that by proxy, having a conversation on maybe like Twitter or X, you know, that'll somehow just be surfaced as, hey, we said this, it should be done. But unless the right people are kind of included in the conversation, it won't, you know, find its way into the project and get, actioned. So it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. Challenging.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of open source.
Yeah, it sure is. Before we got into all the 6.5 chat, we were talking a little bit about WordCamps just for fun. And I was mentioning to you, WordCamp Canada's coming up the second week of July in Ottawa, and it's actually used to be called WordCamp Ottawa, but they've renamed it. So that's an approved name. So that's good. That's good for us. Interestingly, Toronto doesn't have an active WordCamp right now. The closest one to Toronto is typically is Buffalo. I think you were at Buffalo, weren't you, this year?
Yeah, I think that was in May. Yep. Yeah, that was good.
And I didn't get there because we had lots on the go again. So that's we had this problem called lots of stuff going on. So it's just what weekends. As somebody who's gone to WordCamps representing WP Engine and for yourself, what big value do you see in WordCamps?
I selfishly get so much out of it just to get out and interact with the community. Like, I feel like that is the best part. Just interaction. I mean that, and it's interesting to see post COVID how WordCamps are slowly picking up, but also they're not, you know, they're definitely not the same. And the cadence and the, you know, and the attendance and which is to be expected in a lot of ways. I mean, things shut down for so long. But yeah, it's encouraging to see more of them popping up. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to a lot of the small, you know, local ones, but I still think it's a great, you know, cause, and I love going to them and just seeing everybody and hearing all the different perspectives from builders, designers, you know, freelancers, everybody and anybody, so many people in this, you know, ecosystem. So
I think the value to in person is the people. And I've always said that. So I was at an event last Thursday. It wasn't even a WordPress event. It was a marketing event. And it was put on downtown. And somebody said to me, you can get this information elsewhere. I said, I sure can. There's no question. I can go to white papers online. I can read stuff. But it's being around the people and hearing the ideas from the people. Yeah. And I mean, we try and replicate some of that with mastermind groups. I think of Build Mode, which is put on by Brian Gardner, like, and Sam Munoz, right? And you know, we try and replicate it that way, but it's still not the same, and not the same energy level as being in the same room with that amazing energy, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely, absolutely, yes. Yeah, so much to be said about being in the same room with somebody and just, I mean, even virtual is, you know, you can see a face, but
yeah,
I don't know. Being in the same room, ambient temperature, all that stuff, the smells, like just all, you know, it brings everybody into the same atmosphere and really sets,
Yeah, it's so true. It's funny because in the digital space, one of the longest running conferences in Toronto is a conference called PodCamp, which is basically a WordCamp for podcasters. And that's a week Saturday. And last year, coming out of COVID, they still had 250 attendees over the weekend. So coming out of COVID. So that was nice to see. And they actually moved to bigger space this year. So that will be really interesting. I usually go at least a day, if not a day and a half. I know this year I'm speaking on the Saturdays. So, you know, I like doing that because it gives something back to the community that you're in. So that's important.
Yeah.
But and people don't realize, like, speaking presentations, and you've done them, I've done them, they're a lot of work. Like, they really are.
Yes, they are a lot of work. And but yeah, I mean, that's again too why I like WordCamps, is just being able to provide information in presentations and interact and get, you know, the questions from the audience and see all the different perspectives and hear them. So yeah. It's interesting. So,
because you're learning, as a speaker, you're learning as much as the people you're talking to at the same time, right? You're having a two-way dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot to be said by the you know, the Q&A time and how much questions you get, you know, is it, did you touch on the information and maybe, you know, spawn some good questions out of it? And, or did you even have gaps in your presentation, you know, that spawned questions? But it's, yeah, it's a fascinating process. And,
you know, so also moving on, as we're doing this, BRICS yesterday, I think we talked a little bit before, had a bit of a security issue. And I would say, like, on the Richter scale, this one is huge. It's like on a 1 to a 10, it's probably a 30 or a 40 or a 50 off the chart. It just looked awful. One of the problems I think we're having is the time from an exploit to the time of a vulnerability is getting shorter and shorter, and I think that's part of the problems we're facing. You guys doing anything special up at WP Engine to help designers and developers with that, or
for the BRICS builder in particular, or
just generally?
I mean, I don't. I feel like I'm a little bit out of that,
it's okay.
that system. I mean, I tend to monitor, you know, the like Twitter. I don't know. I think I shared earlier the that introduction for, you know, the upcoming 6.5, but it looks like that 6-year-old track ticket was closed, which looked really interesting because you know, I didn't even realize that, yeah, when you go to set up WordPress, that you can, you know, enable public registration, right? Use it. You can enable a setting that allows folks to, anybody to come and register on your site or disable it. But even so, you can set a default role. So if, you know, anybody can register and also anybody could be administrator, that's a little risky. So I think the 6-year-old ticket is addressing that and like giving a little bit of a notice, like, hey, you might not want to let everybody be a administrator unless it's like an intranet setting for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that is like those little things go a long way in securing and locking things down. So
I think we need to stop giving everybody admin access because they ask for it and they can. I think you would never see that in an enterprise layout. Like if you worked for a major bank or a finance company, you'd never see that. We need to start thinking that way. And site owners are so, oh, well, I need admin access. And I got to tell you, as somebody who locks down websites, every time they say to me, I need admin access, the first word out of my mouth is why? Yep. Because...
Absolutely.
And I've seen more stuff caused with websites and problems because we gave somebody admin access who wasn't qualified or shouldn't have it, and then they break it, and then it's the website's fault, not the user's fault. And we've all been that rude in our time, and I just shake my head at it. It's just awful. So.
Yeah. That's definitely a thing to, I've always been wary of. As soon as I get into a WordPress site, just look who's got administrator roles and even audit why, like if there are administrators, do you still need administrative access, you know, and why? Because I think a lot of people, especially in certain instances, get added and, you know, they forget and you're just like, why are they still administrator if they don't need it?
Yeah, the last time I did an audit, I pulled, there was a site that had 14 administrators and I turned them all off at once and I only heard one squeak out of the 14. So that told me it shouldn't have been done. If you had a crystal ball, what would you like to see us do with WordPress? Where would you like to see the project go?
Wow, that's a good question.
Now I make you think too.
As the project, I mean, I guess I tend to, my mind goes towards the community aspect.
Yeah.
you know, I think there's a lot of folks out there doing a lot of amazing work. You know, it's hard to not mention, you know, Brian Gardner, my colleagues, and Sam Brockway, you know, really just interfacing with the community and trying to have conversations and surface challenges. I think that is a huge challenge. And I think that a lot of people are doing a lot of great things. And I just, I hope that that keeps happening. And, you know, that having conversations about like organizing those conversations, you know, and having some kind of pathway and forum for, you know, ideas to be surfaced and actionable in, you know, the project. That is kind of what I encourage and hope for. But I, as far as like a crystal ball, I don't know. I guess, hey, AI is the hot topic, right? I was just dropping AI into core.
Might as well just drop it. You know, I was going to ask you that. We've got all these AI products. Like the one that comes to mind, because I know the team really was the team up at Bertha.ai. And there's some products like that. I don't think we're ever going to get away from AI. I think it's a tool. And I think as a designer developer, you better embrace it now or you're going to get left behind. But I don't think AI will be a direct cause of job loss. It would mean us reinventing our processes and how we do things. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like a Luddite lately because I feel like I spent a pretty solid month really leaning into using AI, not really tinkering. You know, I do feel like I want to experiment with creating and, you know, whipping up these LLMs, your own systems and stuff, but mostly leaning into ChatGPT stuff. And after a month of it, I started, you know, I just wanted to experiment and see. It was helpful, but I feel like it's really in its infancy and like just so much of what I feel like is hype right now around AI. I think the barriers and I guess or the boundaries of what it can and can't do are pretty narrow. And I feel like even the systems in place aren't doing a very good job of, you know, aggregating and surfacing like sources on what, you know, where things are being sourced from and if they're being sourced from anything, you know. And, you know, as far as job loss, I think there will, you know, I think it would be hard to say that there wouldn't be an impact. I don't know if it's how immediate, I don't think it's going to be immediate, maybe 5-10 years, but I think, and I hope that, you know, there'll be plans in place to make it a more equitable experience of, you know, training. I don't know. I don't think training up is the right word, but just, you know, allowing folks to, have an equitable living, even if they're not, you know, like having to contribute in such a significant level to certain aspects of our, you know, ecosystem and everything. But I think, I don't know. It's really interesting. AI is so fascinating to me. And like, I see like even, I forget his name that runs that's the face of ChatGPT, not necessarily, Altman.
Altman. Yeah,
I know last week on Twitter X, he said, you know, just, I don't know why my summary of his tweet was, I don't know why, you know, folks are, you know, kind of challenging the current status AI. You just need to dig in and start, you know, building and do stuff with it. And that's my summary of kind of what he said. But I feel like even the infrastructure behind it, right? Like it takes so much energy to get these models going. And The infrastructure, the ethics, the governance is kind of behind on all that, and it really concerns me. And that's where I'd like to see more effort, I think, as opposed to investing in experiments and trying to grow more resources at power and getting more models off the ground. I guess that's
and then we we've kind of got the whole legal implications. If you've been following the AI space, we know the New York Times has had some lawsuits, and I think they're just putting them out there to see where it falls and see where we stand. We know there's copyright issues out there, especially with images. Getty Images has been, who has a whole team of patent trolls that run around to enforce their copyright, is out there trying to do stuff. We know there's issues. Can you copyright an image generated with AI? That discussion is out there.
Right.
We know that's gone on. And then we get into the whole, there's so many government sectors and companies that forbid their people to use anything generated with AI in any of their material because they're scared of the unknown. But I hate to say it, folks, people have been using AI before it was called AI. What do you think Photoshop brushes are that do things automated? That's AI when it comes down to it. So I think we've got so much uncertainty. And to throw one more, if you're a Windows user, do you know the adoption of Edge, the browser, has gone up and not down because of the tie-in to Copilot and AI? There's some of that going on too. And then Apple, I read another article this morning that said Apple's about to jump into the AI space in the next version of iOS. In a big one.
I feel like that's been hinted at for a while. So I no doubt about that. I mean, and it's interesting. Yeah, like I think I kind of said this earlier, but like the intelligence in AI is, I feel like, I don't know what, I guess what my experience and my expectation, you know, the intelligence is like, I feel like 5% in, you know, when you say artificial intelligence, and what is the G general artificial intelligence? Is that the GAI? Yeah. That seems like a long way off to me, but certainly attainable in a lot of aspects.
So true. It's just interesting times. What's going on up at WP Engine these days? Is there anything big coming down the pipe you can share or good for listeners?
We have the Decode event happening in March, and that's going to be a lot of great stuff coming out of that. They just announced the dates for that and opened registration, and that's going to be a great way to get a lot of information on, you know, what WP Engine's up to and even the larger WordPress ecosystem. And so, and I think there's going to be some, you know, a track or at least a speech or two on AI, I'm sure. It's a hot topic. And so, that's coming. And I mean, Build Mode is a great thing with Brian and Sam. That's every Friday. And I think Brian's quite consistent on doing those every Friday. And so I think that's great. And I've just been trying to dig in. I have a little time dedicated to contributing to 6.5 as a triage, editor triage, and I'm working alongside Anne McCarthy and Fabian Kagi. So I've just been kind of getting up to speed on that kind of role. I'm kind of shadowing for this release and hopefully next release do a little bit more. But so that's kind of taken up a little chunk of my time. And so, but it's a great, I mean, I love doing stuff like that. So that's what I've been up to, I guess.
No, that's great. If somebody wants to get a hold of you to talk about DevRel, WP Engine, or anything else, how's the best way?
I guess I feel like the best option is Twitter X these days. I'm not posting as much lately, but I am in there a lot. And, you know, so if folks, if folks see bugs and stuff, hit me up in there. D Cook, I'm on X. And I've been also getting into, I mean, I have Blue Sky for a while, but I think since they opened it up to more public registration, you know, it's, I'm hoping it's going to get more activity. Yeah. So I'm over there a little bit, but yeah, D Cook on Twitter, X, that's probably the best, easiest, most broad, channel to get at me. So
thanks, Damon, for this. Yeah. Have an amazing day, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. All right. You too. See ya.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Damien for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com, or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.